Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome back. We're glad you're with us tonight. And I want to thank the One Institute for making that happen each and every week. We had Valentine's Day yesterday, and it was a little tainted by tragedy. I hope your Valentine's Day was good. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. And could you give us a little insight about yesterday?
About the horrible event?
Yes.
Well, it is my belief that one thing Freud was right about is that by the age of three, that we are scripted into being intimidators with fear, seducers with guilt and shame, and negotiators for loving. And my androgynous semantic realignment, my doctoral work, is based on the quantum physics of I Ching Chinese, molded into yin and yang, and ending up in my doctoral dissertation as the following: that women have feminine soul bodies, but masculine souls. And the ego of a woman, her mind and her will, is to make sure that her body feels good. And if it doesn't feel good, to speak up. The book, the stage show, Lysistrata, by, let's see, what was his name? Anyway, I'll think of it. It was in the Greek Golden Age, and the women of Troy didn't like the war.
Right.
So they said, how are we gonna do something about it? And guess what they did, which women just recently did a walk in Washington for the same purpose. Not one woman was arrested in that walk. And the women of Troy, they cut off the sex, the food, the homemaking. How long did the war last?
I'm not certain.
Not very long. Because the truth of the matter is, in the metaphorical image of the Bible, Christianity, men were built first, get out, compete, conquer, and control. Then they got bored.
Right.
So the metaphysical quote, or the message, was, hey God, we need something to have fun with. He said, okay, give me a rib and I'll give you a woman.
Right.
Now, what do ribs protect?
The heart.
The heart. And that's what we women are supposed to bring to the table and the bed. But we're supposed to do it passively, patiently, and vulnerably by saying, that's a wonderful idea, but it doesn't feel good, and no. Just
right.
No. So, women, when I read Betty Friedan's book called Feminine Mystique, Mystique, which means unobservable, you see, I tell women, act mystical and enigmatic.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, mystical and enigmatic can be just a dumb blonde. Because if she gives sex for 3 years, and it's 3 years, he can enjoy using and abusing her body, then he gets bored.
Right.
And that's when he goes after getting an alpha woman. Now, an alpha woman is equally male and equally female.
Right.
The problem is that allows her to be narcissistic, to get respect and cherishing. And what that does is it makes her a 10, and the only men that can be with her are gigantic zeros.
Right.
Got it?
Yes.
The ego, the mind and the will is built to take care of the body of a woman. And by doing so, a man will have the pleasure of her muse nature. Oh, I loved it. I was listening to Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the Devil. And in there it said, men have to have a real woman. It can be a daughter, it can be a coach, it can be a, you know, it can be a, the mother. But they have to have a woman who brings instinct to the intuitive table that men run their lives from.
Right.
Men are born to compete, conquer, and control. And their ego is supposed to serve that body when they're young. And when they're older, they biochemically and neurobiochemically take on the build, brain-wise and chemically, of a woman. They go off testosterone onto progesterone, estrogen. But while they're doing that, we women are going off estrogen and going on progesterone, testosterone.
Right.
So it is my belief system that since women want to be men too early in the game, there are not enough loving women to say no to their sons and their brothers and their fathers and their dads. So what's happening is the women are going violent and their children are going wild. And I want to bring up the fact there's a new scientific awareness that, do you know that kids from 13 to 18 go down in the production of dopamine, the fun upper?
Right.
So they get out on the streets, they get on the motorcycles. I raised my girls on horses, thank God.
Right.
And one of them brought home a motorcycle, and I told her, no, no motorcycles in my house.
Go find the horse.
Go find, oh, she did. She had a horse. They all had horses. Four daughters. I had five horses, four daughters. So with that in mind, as long as women think that being a man is the right thing to do, you know my book, the new book, brand new, published by Hay House.
Right, Balboa Press, and,
And it's called It's a Man's World. They're interested in buying, selling, trading junk. They even make us pieces of junk in certain parts of the world.
Indeed.
And we women, we're in charge of oxygen, which keeps us alive and helps us talk.
Yeah.
And we are neurobiologically capable of using 5,000 words to men's 2,500, and then they punch the wall or they punch us.
Right.
So it is my professional belief that Freud was right, that the first 3 years of life, children need their mirror neurons reflected by a loving human being. Mirror neurons,
yes.
A phenomenon we know in the brain, that children need to be reflected. Fathers need to protect their daughters' feelings. Mothers need to respect their sons' intuition and thinking.
Right.
And when that doesn't happen, the kids are out to kill.
Right.
You want to read a book about that, audience?
Yeah,
read
let's.
Brainstorms by Dan Siegel, the mindful fellow.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Dr. Allen, I'm getting a message that we have calls. Are
did
you
I answer
ready?
Your question?
Yes, you did, and brilliantly. Thank you. Shall we take some calls now?
Absolutely.
Hi.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. My question is, I have a very long and crazy story, but I'm going to be brief. I'm originally from Moscow. I came to U.S. many, many years ago, and I'm a former victim of domestic violence. I divorced my husband, and I'm raising kids, two boys by myself. And I have...
How old are they?
They are 16 and 14, two boys.
They're right in the middle of their teenage years.
And I've been masculine for a very long time, so I get accustomed to it.
Wait a minute. Does that mean you order them around? Or does that mean, sons, you have a right to keep the noise up on the radio, you have a right to come in late, you have a right to do this, but it's very uncomfortable for me. So the price for doing that is, your iPhone goes, whatever else.
Yep.
When
yep.
mothers
I'm
raise
the-
sons to cherish their feelings, those sons will become gentlemen. A man is a
right.
man.
Yep.
He's built to compete, conquer, and control. Unless he's got a loving woman somewhere in his life who requires him to cherish her feelings or else.
Yep.
So do you dominate them or do you negotiate?
After reading your books, I've read I just started the Men's World, Woman's Universe, and I've listened
Good
to your
girl.
Podcast all the time. And I decided I would like to be cherished from now moment on. And I'm
I got news for you. That's appropriate.
I have a boyfriend, which I have a question about. We've been
is
together
he a boyfriend?
For six...
Is he a girl in a boy's body? Or is he a
that's...
man loved?
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out, because he was raised by a single mother as well. And he was raised as a girl because mother demanded respect for her. So he accustomed to my masculinity, which I'm right now switching. And he's a little bit hesitating. I am different. And we've been together for 6 years. And I'm kind
Yay.
Of losing interest.
I know, because you're becoming more female and you have to feel good to respect him.
But the funny part is that I reading your book, I stopped any sexual interaction for a year. He keeps coming back.
And what did you do that for? What did you tell him was the barter point?
I
Either
told him
do this
that
or
I
don't do that.
I told him I would like to get engaged and get married. We have a chemistry. Sex is great.
You said the words that I really want to let you know. I would like two people want to buy your car. One would like to buy it and one wants to buy it. Who's got the money?
Who wants to buy it?
That's right. So do you know what you're doing, all of you out there? When you say, I would like to do this and I would like you to do that, you're signaling the audience that you don't expect to get it, which makes it easier for them not to give it to you. When you say,
right,
I want this, may I have it, please? Put potent in the beginning of a sentence. We women want generality. We want to be married. A man says, I want to marry you. We say, yeah, I don't want to be with a drunk. A man says, you drink again and you're out of here. Men want specifically, we want generally. But when anybody says would like, it better be, I would like to live on Mars.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Slowly transferring into the feminine aspect of me. And it's a transition. It's not easy, but I'm controlling myself.
All right.
The question
was, what
else
do you want to know? What?
My boyfriend, we have a different background. I'm originally from Moscow. He's originally from Haiti. And I've learned that my love language, mostly words and touching, he gets accustomed to my masculinity so much, he letting me run the show, and I'm getting frustrated and sometimes angry because he's turning into feminine. And I don't want him to be feminine. I want me to be feminine. He's kind of letting me to run the show.
You, when he asks you what you want and where do you want to go and what do you want him to wear, do you say, I appreciate how much respect you have for me, but it's a turn off. So if you want to turn me off, that's the way to do it.
I left him 3 times for those 3 years, or 6 years, 3 times, and we keep coming back because we have a...
I got news for you. It isn't that he's coming back. It's that your body is bonded to him.
True. True.
Now, is he that great a lay that you're going to give your life up?
I'm hesitating. I'm scared to lose him because he's more than 51 good, but at the same time,
you want to know something?
I am,
then pay the price and don't bitch about it. You are accepting him imperfectly, and I support you in doing that, but you decided it.
But he's not cherishing me how I want it.
I got news for you. For you, I don't want you to ask for more, better, different love, affection, time, or sex. Because if you ask for it and get it, you're the mother.
I'm not asking, and it's boring.
You're bored?
Yes.
And does boring not allow you to lubricate for sex?
I want to get engaged. I want to have a family. And
I
he's
fully
not
understand
into it.
That. But he doesn't want to cherish you.
I don't think he doesn't know how.
I understand that. How old is he?
He will be 40.
Okay, that's too early for andropause. So what do you say to him when he says, I want to make love to you?
He's not really making much attempt after I told him that sexual intercourse only when we get to the engagement ring, and he's not making any attempts.
Guess why? Because you're his
mommy.
Maybe
he's accustomed. Yeah, yeah. How
if
I
you're
turn
his
it-
mommy, what?
How I turn it over. I don't want to be his mommy.
Do you live with him?
We tried. It didn't work.
I know it because you weren't engaged.
Yeah.
Are you living with him now?
No.
Therefore, you're free to date and do whatever you want.
I think I'm scared. After divorce, I never did it. And 6 years out of my life with this guy kind of put me out of league now.
Then I'm hearing that you have an arranged relationship and it's enough for you. So stop bitching and moaning and be his mother.
No, I want to go out. I want to go out and explore.
How old are you?
I turned 40 this year.
Okay. Now, are you looking for somebody that's going to bring you marriage?
I'm right now single. I slowly getting out on the dating market, but not really anything quality out there I came up with. It's scary. I think it scares me more than I can do it.
Then please feel free to put your development in the bucket. What is that? The bucket seat or something for your next life. Maybe you do not want to evolve past this point.
My parents been married all their life, and they have very nice marriage. They never divorced, and I miss it. I got divorced 16 years ago.
Was it a mistake?
And it was a lot. It was my ex-husband beat me up. I had domestic violence.
Well, that's not a mistake. If you put up with immoral, unethical, or illegal, you're too sick to be married well. So I approve of you doing what you did. This man is just boring.
Yes.
Does he make money?
Not as much as I do.
So basically, you are sincerely a mother.
Yep.
And you have a companion. And you're going to have to make love to your wife.
Yeah.
So do you want him badly enough to be the husband?
He's willing to change. We talked about your books and your theory. He accepted. He's willing to do everything and try to work out.
Would you please go to chapter 14 in Getting to I Do and negotiate time, space, money, and play?
Yes, you're right.
So are you going to do that?
Will do. And in fact, I want to tell you that I'm calling from Boston. And I love your work. I love your podcast. You are awesome.
Thank you for saying that, since I was rather rough on you.
I appreciate honesty. I do better when there is an improvement for growth. I know what I
That's
can
right.
be.
I thank you for
thank
saying
you so, much.
So, and I hope that you profit by it.
Thank you. I appreciate Dr. Allen.
Call again.
Thank you.
Hi. Okay. That was a great call, Dr. Allen. You had a lot of great input for her.
Well, the truth of the matter is she doesn't want to take the risk of losing what she's got.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay?
Hello?
Who's next?
Hi. I have a question for you. I've read your book, Getting to I Do, and I'm a recovering.
Have anybody read Staying Married and Loving It? I wrote that one too.
I haven't, because I haven't been married yet.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, I've been listening to a lot of your podcasts because I live in, I don't live in the LA area, and I seem to have trouble, in the area I live in with getting, duty dating. So getting like three people at the same time. And also,
do you
I just
flirt?
Wonder,
wait a minute. Do you flirt 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week? Do you look in the eyes of men and smile? Do you want to be cherished or respected?
Cherished.
Everybody wants both, but what's first and what's second?
Cherished.
Cherished, respected. Okay, then when you flirt, you don't speak. You just smile when you look them in the eyes, which is called presentation, which is a nice animal skill. When you do that, it signals them that you're receptive, available, and respecting of them, and they will speak to you. Hi, nice day. Your chicken looks good, doesn't it? You made it in the grocery store. So are you flirting with men when you walk around 4 days?
Yes.
And do you attract men that ask you out?
Yes, very, very infrequently. I would say like one every 6 months.
Do you flirt 5 days a week?
Yes.
And do you flirt one of those five times in a week? Do you flirt like at a stationary, a chair in a restaurant, waiting for your girlfriend who's never coming, so somebody might come and talk to you? Do you go to Starbucks and sit in the coffee ring and flirt with people?
Yes, I go to a local coffee shop. I didn't think about going to dinner earlier, though.
Going to dinner earlier?
Like you just mentioned going and while you're waiting for your girlfriend, I didn't think to go ahead of time to do that.
No, you
say like ahead of time alone
four and
or just...
six. It's supposed to be take your briefcase or whatever and act like she's meeting you and then look unhappy. Basically sit at the bar and talk to the bartender so men can hear your voice. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go to, say, for example, a nice hotel and you're going to meet her for a drink, whatever the drink is, pop, who cares, then you have a chance of a man sidling up to you and talking to you.
Okay.
You see
I
what
didn't
I'm saying?
Think of doing that. Yes.
I know. What I'm doing is, do you go to Mingles?
Well, I would like to. I just haven't found any here in this area.
Would you like to start one?
Yeah, how do you do that, I guess?
Do you have a local little newspaper? What city are you in?
Reno, Nevada.
Reno, Nevada is the Mingle center of the universe. Right?
I must be missing the boat.
But Reno also has its own private city life. And there's some kind of Reno Gazette or whatever their newspaper is. Advertise, put a little blurb in for a Mingle on what subject? Do you ski? What do you do?
I rock climb.
You do what?
I rock climb.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Put an ad in. Rock climbers.
Okay.
Let's get together and exchange chips or something.
Okay. Yeah, I go to the climbing gym. I try to go by myself so that I can meet new partners.
I understand that, but this is not set up for dating. There's there's a new company that's taking Mingle business and making it professional. It's called My Social Calendar. But I'm telling you, you can put a blurb in the backside of a newspaper. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Something that's in something that's a local paper.
Okay. Yeah.
And have it in a safe place, like a restaurant.
Okay.
And do it, I think, offline sounds just exquisitely wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. I could do that. And then I have another question, too.
What's your question?
I've gone out with somebody this is what happens to me. I go out with somebody for four times or three times or...
Three times, and then you say, I don't have chemistry.
No, I'm interested, and then they, like, fall off the universe, and I never hear from them again.
What?
And then they just disappear.
I know that, but have they asked you for sex?
No.
Are you ugly?
No, not at all. And I'm very fit.
Okay. Then maybe you have somebody. Are you a good girl?
Yes.
They may intuitively know that you're not a fast lay. And to a player, that's a turnoff. What?
Okay, yes, that could be. And the other thing I was thinking is that I still carry this male energy that I've been trying to get rid of, or trying to only
have
at work and not...
How do you demonstrate your male energy? No, I don't want to sit there. Have you ever seen the movie Duty Dating?
No.
One of my clients made a movie, and it used to be on YouTube or someplace.
Okay. I can look that up.
Anyway, I don't know when you'd look it up. It would be on YouTube type stuff.
Okay, I could look that up.
Are you a natural-born leader?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know the tools that I teach?
Yes.
Do you use them?
I'm wondering if I try, and then, I say the word I want or I think, and then I catch myself. And I just haven't been able to fully get that out of my vocabulary.
I appreciate that. But real men will bristle at that. You understand? I'm going to review it. Number one, don't ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Always ask him what he thinks, what he wants, his opinion, his suggestions, his ideas, and what you can do to help him achieve it. Second tool. Third tool, how to fight with him. If he does something immoral, unethical, or illegal, call the police, a doctor, and a lawyer. If what he's doing is irritating, but it's not immoral, unethical, and illegal, make him right for doing it. You have every right to think that. You have every right to feel that. You have every right to say that. You have every right not to keep your agreements. You have every right to be you. But I'm uncomfortable with it. And if you don't mind I'm uncomfortable and turned off, I guess this is it. But if you do mind, would you be so kind as to do this or stop doing that? Which irritates me. That's the third tool.
Okay.
The fourth tool is body language. Body language is 90% of all communication. Tones of voice, gestures, the finger, postures, and facial expressions are intimidating and seductive, but you can only negotiate with words. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, for they become your character. Beware of your character, for it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office for being healthy or not, and in every relationship, especially the loving ones, especially the romantic, erotic, loving ones. So when you see the date, tone of voice, gesture, posture, facial expression, and sense by the look on your face, you're upset about something. Am I right? You're upset? Yes or no? And if he says yes, what can I do to help you and I do better? Do you see that?
Yeah.
And the fifth tool is time out, like the referee, hands in the T position. What are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable with something you're saying and something you're doing. Are you interested in negotiating? You may say no. If he says yes, then tell him, I'm uncomfortable when you do this or when you do that. Are you willing to consider not doing that? Those are the five tools.
I see.
That will get you across the tumultuous ocean in one piece. So can you watch your mouth?
Yes. I'm trying. I'm getting better. It's very slow.
All right. Then keep working on it. And at some point, you'll meet somebody who accepts your standards of negotiating. What I'm teaching you is how to negotiate, not intimidate with your brain, and not seduce with your painful feelings. It's so painful when you do what I want. That's how masculine women operate. All right?
Okay, thank you so much.
Did you get enough to work on in this question?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Go for it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Paula. Some more excellent questions and words of wisdom. I think we've got another call coming in.
Okay.
Let's see here. What's going on? Let me talk to the switchboard. Okay. Yeah, something's going on here. He looks like he's trying to hook another call in.
Okay. The show must
Hi,
go on.
Hi, the voicemail is Jenna Galane. This is Myra. I can't get your call right now. Please leave a message and I'll call you back. Thanks.
Okay. Voicemail, people, when we call back, please try to answer. You're in the queue and our wonderful switchboard guy joins you, so it'd be great if you'd pick up. And do we have a caller on the air right now?
Yes.
Great. Do you have a question?
Yes. So, Dr. Allen, I've been following you for about a year, and I realize that I am my husband's mommy, and I don't want to be his mommy anymore.
Well, do you have any kids?
Yes, I have a baby. I'm trying to go back to college and get a degree and raise my son, and I take online courses so I can stay home with my child. I'm going to be 40 years old this year. It took me many years to get pregnant, and so I feel a little, you know, behind because it it cost a lot of money, you know, and he did pay for a lot of the fertility treatments. And he doesn't want to pay for me to go back to school, but he doesn't want me to work part-time at night and on the weekends.
He doesn't want you to do that?
I was working, and then it kind of got to be really hectic, but he doesn't want to help me pay for my classes, and I'm just taking one class at a time, and the government will not give me any money for, you know, I can't get a student loan.
I got it. So he's not 51% valuable. You don't need him for the money. You don't need him for the babysitting, right?
No, he is 51% valuable.
Okay.
He's a good provider.
Is there a way you can compromise?
Well, I want to do that. I want to compromise.
You don't want to compromise. What kind of a compromise does he want?
Well, I don't know. I think that we can afford for me to take one or two classes a semester. I think that we have enough money for that.
So have you told him you can either give me the right to be an individual or you can be an individual by yourself without me?
Okay.
What you're saying is, you're not saying, I'm going to go, you know, 5 days a week to school all day.
Right, because I can't do that. I want to be home with my son. Yeah.
So you think that he wants you to mother him by not spending money on you?
It kind of seems like that. When I met him, I was in recovery. I had a year of sobriety. We had been living together for...
What were you using?
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 47 years.
Yeah, I know.
Good.
I listen to you a lot.
How sober are you?
I'm not an active addiction, so I'm not participating.
That what?
I don't feel like my addiction is active right now, like it's in its active state.
So you're not getting in trouble using?
No.
You're not hostile because you're using.
Right.
Is he paying for any thing your dad did to you?
Yeah, probably a little bit. Yeah.
Like what? Was your dad stingy?
My dad wasn't present. He was an addict. He was never available.
I got it.
He died using a couple of years
ago. That's stingy. When a dad is busy being an addict, he can't cherish his daughter.
Right.
Is your mother a man?
Yeah, she's masculine. She's also an addict.
And is she still using?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're saying to me is, I don't want to be gone from the child and him, like totally. I want to take a couple of classes, and I want him to pay for them as a support of me. Because the baby's going to be growing and going to school, and I want to be a complete human being capable of both working and being a homemaker.
Yeah. I don't want to be a career woman. I just want a woman. I want to be a woman with a career. I'm changing careers after the career I've been in the past for 15 years is no longer working for me. I want to do something different.
I got it. So have you already told him that it's compromised and help me have a couple of classes a semester or I have to leave you? Have you told him that?
No.
Well, if you haven't told him that, then he naturally thinks you love him better than yourself. So I want to demonstrate how to do it. Okay. Honey, I want to call him honey. You may not call him honey, maybe. Honey, I want to talk to you about our relationship. Is it a convenient time, hopefully today? What would he say?
Sure, let's talk.
You know what? I really appreciate the effort you made financially and physically to get our wonderful baby boy. I really appreciate that. And I basically like you, but I want to develop my humanity to the point where when I'm older and you're older, I can have a creative career. So are you willing to sponsor and support my education by paying for a few classes each semester and supporting me in doing it? Or do I have to divorce you to become myself? Which is it?
I have to say that those words exactly like that?
No, you have to say the same intent. Now you be okay. You and I'll be him. You do it your way.
Well, I've told him all that. I told him, you know, what I want with school and what kind of work I want to be doing. And he understands that it's going to benefit the family later when Zachary goes to school. But he tells me, I can't pay for
you're
it.
What?
I can't do it all. He's basically saying, then it makes me feel like I want too much. Because he's like, you want everything and I can't pay for everything. He's like, you didn't marry a millionaire. And then I feel guilty.
Oh. How long have you been married?
This will be our 6th year.
6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it isn't a 10-year marriage, which would be a long-term. Do you expect that your lawyer can get you alimony and child support that would allow you to take a couple classes and live single?
Yeah, my husband makes really
what?
Good money, so yeah, I could get, I would get half of everything we have if I got divorced.
So, when did you tell him that you wanted what you wanted? How long ago?
Well, I was under the assumption that I was going to get some money from the government, and then I just realized I wasn't. I have great credit, and so I put it the class this semester on a credit card that has no interest for a year and a half, and I told him that I would be willing to go back to work to pay for the classes. And I really
think that's just what I should do. All right.
And then he can miss me a little bit because I'm so available to
him. Wait a minute. When did you flag him? How long ago?
When did I say all this?
When did you say all that?
It's kind of been this ongoing back and forth conversation that we've been trying to figure out for the last month.
For how long?
A couple months.
Oh, it's not long. So are you ready to go to strike 3 and tell him what it's going to cost him?
I'm trying. I mean, I'm scared to do that because I don't want him, I'm for the most part, I'm happy. I'm confused and I don't.
Honey, then why don't you admit for right now, how old is your baby?
6 months.
Can you stay with him till the baby's 3 years old?
Yeah.
Then why don't you do peripheral learning, pay for the class yourself, do whatever? Why don't you devote the 3 years to the family, as I was talking about at the beginning of the show, give the baby 3 years of a family and then see what you're going to do about your marriage.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you heard me in the beginning that I had mentioned that, you know, I'm his mommy.
Well,
my husband's
like
mommy.
He's also your financial daddy.
Right, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And you don't want to lose that. And the baby's way too young to split up unless it's immoral, unethical, illegal. Do you understand?
So do I have an unhealthy situation? Is it like
what?
Codependent?
I didn't hear that word.
Is this like, am I in a codependent, like unhealthy situation?
No, what it is premature. The baby's only 6 months old. You're going to do damage to the baby. The baby needs a consistent, loving human being looking in its eyes, smiling, tickling, laughing. You've got to get those mirror neurons up and blooming because by three, they shut down.
Right, and that's my priority.
Well, if the baby's your priority, you stay in your marriage and study on your own as best you can. And when the baby's 3 years old, then you go for broke.
Do you think my husband is selfish for telling me that he's not, you know, for giving me a hard time about paying for one or two classes here and there?
Well, thank him for that. I mean, I want you to appreciate whatever he does to support your individuation process, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't want it to cost the baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You struggle to get that baby. See that that baby has those first 3 years.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for asking so I could demonstrate. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Good
thanks,
luck.
Caller.
Okay. Well, hey, I wanted to point something out, Dr. Allen. We have a new service that we're offering, and you do a self-esteem class. You do the Kiersey Sorter, and we are now offering that we can send out the test for clients who are interested in having an appointment with you after they do the sorter. For those that can't come to the self-esteem.
Wait. I have a men's and a women's.
Oh, that's right. So what could happen is if they can't come to the self-esteem class, what they could do is either male or female could fill out the sorter, and Sue would get it back and they would make an appointment to have a phone appointment with you to go over that sorter. And we're pretty excited
about
it.
Find out what temperament you have, and I will read a small blurb of what it means. You can always read the book, Please Understand Me, by David Kiersey and Marilyn Bates.
Mm-hmm.
And the second book, Please Understand Me 2, number 2, by David Kiersey, because Marilyn Bates had died. Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey were my instructors and the heads of the Department of Counseling at Cal State Fullerton in California. So I am very, very competent in administering their test.
Exactly. So everybody, if you're interested, contact Sue at info@drpatallen.com. Visit our website, www.drpatallen.com. You can also sign up for our classes and purchase our items, including Dr. Allen's new book, at thewanteyestore.com. We're out of time for this week. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we run?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitment you're willing to make it keep.
Awesome. Good night, everyone. We'll be back next week. Take care.
Bye.
listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.